Good evening, family. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Bill Hatzman. Hey, you know what? I wanted to give you guys some more good news. Just a few weeks ago, our former treasurer, Pat F., had celebrated 12 years of sobriety, and on that same day, he got a new heart, a heart transplant. Man, can you even do that, right? And he's getting out of the hospital today. So that's great news, huh? So good for Pat. So we've done this once before. We thought we'd try it again. It's kind of a different little bit of a format for us, but what we wanted to do is give Carrie an opportunity to address some questions about her drinking and her trouble and her sober life.
Okay.
Yeah?
I appreciate you doing this, Bill. Bill asked me to speak like 3 months ago, and I initially said yes because I know that's what I should do, and I wanted to. A month into it, I was like, Bill, I don't think I can do this. My nerves just got the best of me, and I've been on stage a lot, but, you know, it's one thing to be on stage and know what you're saying as a chip giver and have your little spiel, but just to have an open mic for like 40 minutes, I was a little nervous. So he's like, oh, let me tell you what, we'll do a question-answer format. So I agreed to that.
All right.
So bear with me. I'm still nervous, though.
All right. Let's start with this. I presume that at some point you were just out having fun, and things changed.
My dad will attest to that.
You wanna tell us a little bit about that? What happened? What got you here? Is the heat on? Were you in trouble?
Yeah, actually, that's what happened. But initially, you know, my drinking started out like high school, basically. We would go out a lot in Strawberry Hill, Cisco, and all that fun stuff. And I'd come back home and go out the back and just get really sick just about every time I went out. I didn't do any other issues in high school, but yeah, I drank quite a bit. And it progressively got worse when I moved right after high school when I was like 18. Can you guys hear me okay? Okay. I moved to Yosemite. I went with a couple girlfriends from high school, and we went there and lived in the tent cabins and worked there. I worked at the bike rentals, but every night was just a pure party, and I drank a lot. Like, there was times I would wake up outside of my tent in the morning, not even knowing what happened. I was not inside my tent in Yosemite. And that was just a pattern for me there. Yeah, and I did, I know this is Alcoholics Anonymous, but I did experiment with other things there. I think that kind of got me into the drug world. I did acid like 7 times, and I did experiment for the first time with meth as well. And so, yeah, I did a lot of firsts there. I moved to Columbia College after Yosemite and lived at the dorms there and just again drinking a lot. And you know, once I started drinking, I realized now. I mean, I know then too. I couldn't control the amount of alcohol I drank. And yeah, I just wanted anything to make me feel different. I even took one night, like one of my first week at Columbia College at the dorms, I decided to take shrooms. And like, who does that? You know, and I had it was just ridiculous. And I was just paranoid all night and, you know, and just drinking to come down. And alcohol, yeah, it's just always been a bad part, you know, a big part of my life. Always. And I don't know. I mean, there's just a long history of alcohol. But basically, yeah, it led me here. God did remove my, separated me from alcohol on October 5th of 2016. That was the day I went into New Visions. And I didn't realize it then, but that was the last day I've had a sip of alcohol. I mean, I didn't realize it then, but that God had removed me from alcohol, separated me from alcohol until working with Stephanie. And she's like, well, how did you, Stephanie's my sponsor of my primary purpose group. And I wanted to thank you guys for not doing your Wednesday night meeting. You did not have to do that and to come here to support me, trust me. But I appreciate it. And so she basically said, well, you know, human power can relieve our alcoholism. And I totally get that now because I realize that God did separate me from alcohol for the last time on that day because I couldn't do it on my own free will. I know that for a fact. And I'm truly grateful for that. And I know I'm like, there's so much else to tell too, but do you want to ask another question?
We'll get
and then,
to it,
okay.
Yeah. So I think you mentioned October 2016 is the last time you took a drink.
October 5th of 2016.
October 5th.
Yeah, October of 2016, yeah.
You write the 5th down. That's an important date. Now, is that your current sobriety date?
That is not my current sobriety date, no.
Tell us more.
Well, I'm a year and 19 days sober today.
So. All right. So what's your date? Tell us your date.
My date is February 22nd of 2018.
Beautiful
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
So what happened between 16 and 18?
Between 16 and 18, so I went into New Visions for 60 days and got out. The day I got out, I used, drank, not drank, I'm sorry, I did not drink. No, the day I got out, I used and I did other things as well, pills and just whatever I could get my hands on. And it continually got worse. I found myself, I think you guys might, some people might have this preconceived notion that I just had alcohol was my, maybe a little alcohol was my issue, but I had a lot of bad rock bottoms. I was over here, just like right down the street on Bridge Street, like in this little apartment, just using and not being able to stop using. And I got into some trouble with the law and I went to jail for 43 days in Hanford, and that was pretty traumatic. And once again, I vowed when I was there that I would never use. Okay, this when I went to jail, that was in 2011, so I'm kind of scattered and backing back up, but
okay.
But yeah, it's kind of a big part of my story as well. And I vowed to never drink or use again, and the day I got out of jail, I broke that promise once again. Like, I truly believed I was not going to use or drink again. That same year, I went into the 11th hour rehab in Fresno, and I was there for 22 days, and they were like, oh, you're good, go ahead and go and leave. And I was there for prescription pills and I didn't really, I was there for prescription pills, but I drank a lot too. But I remember like the first day I got there, someone was graduating from using meth. And I was like, well, that's okay. You can go home and have a beer at least. I didn't know it was total abstinence, for. And so that was kind of a rude awakening. And so I got in trouble and I was in jail for 43 days and got in trouble again, not even 4 or 5 months later here at my mom's house when I was living with her. I was making a drug deal down the street and the cops came. So I went to jail here in Visalia for just overnight, luckily, and that was another demoralizing event in my life. And so I've had numerous things that maybe you guys wouldn't think that I experience that I did that was just just god awful and just demoralizing. And I don't know if I answered that right.
Did you guys catch? She said she was a drug dealer.
Yeah, I never was a drug dealer. No.
Were you at least your own best customer?
That I was. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, that I was.
So let's turn and look a little bit about your first exposure to AA or the concept of getting sober. It sounded like you were having some consequences as a result of your drinking and using,
yeah.
and that kind of forced you to do some things that maybe you didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. Was one of those things that you didn't want to do AA? Or NA? Have you been involved in NA?
You know, not too much NA. I definitely wasn't too thrilled about coming to AAA. My first exposure to AAA was actually after 2011 when I did aftercare at the Kuya Delta for like 6 months. And I went to a few meetings. And actually, I went to meetings at in rehab as well. But I never stuck with it. I never stuck with it until I went into with New Visions in 2016, and of course we went to meetings there. And that's actually, I started to like it. I kind of started to like it when I was at New Visions. I really I liked it. I wasn't opposed to it. I just didn't. It just didn't stick up until like probably like a year and a half ago, and that's when my friend Manny Montero, who's actually a member of our home group, he, for so long, like several years, had wanted me to meet Stephanie Blackman. And finally I did, and that was just the best thing that happened to me, because she, you know, really gave me a different perspective about AA and the Big Book and how important it is to, you know, to study the Big Book. I think I did AA before, and I didn't really know about the Big Book. I didn't read it. I didn't have a sponsor. I didn't do my steps. And so I failed, you know, I failed obviously very miserably at it. And so with Stephanie, showing me, you know, the whole triangle to AA and how important that triangle is, and you know, we would go to her house and read page by page. And prior to that, I had no conception of God. Like, I didn't really grow up with God in my life. So I didn't have any preconceived notions of God, you know, good or bad. But she, working with her, you know, the second step, she said, well, are you willing to believe in a power greater than yourself, you know? And I was willing, and I at that point I was desperate. I wanted to get better, and I knew I had to do something different this time to for my recovery. And so yeah, we would meet every week religiously. I don't think I ever, maybe one time I wasn't able to, or she wasn't able to, but I was always there. And we went line by line through it. I did my fourth step with her. I did my fifth step with her. And unfortunately, I had relapsed too around that time. So that's when she was like, Teddy, come in and help me here. So her husband, Teddy, took me through the steps. We revisited some things in the Big Book. And I just, during that time, I got more spiritually fit, and I had conscious contact with God finally, which I never have had in my life. And that was the deal breaker. That was the turn, you know, the turn, turnaround for me. Like, that really was what kept me sober. I know if I didn't find Stephanie and, have, you know, just learned as much as I had learned and stuff. And I love reading the Big Book. I really, enjoy reading Bill's story, and she told me right before she before I even actually met with her, she said, she wanted me to be able to rely on God, and not her. Like, if she wasn't around, you know, I could rely on God. And I never even thought that was possible. I didn't even know what that looked like. But now, even like a year and a half later, like, it's so awesome to know God, and I feel so blessed to have had her. She just texted me and said she's sorry she couldn't be here. Her daughter is sick. But if I could just be like even a quarter of a, you know, sponsor she is, I'd be happy. And yeah, she just said, and also another thing she also said was, are you going to be able to take other people through the work after we're done? And I absolutely said yes, because she, you know, that's the important part of it too. I mean, you need to give back, you know. And so that's what I try to do now, and it's awesome.
So you said that you sat with your sponsor, and you read page by dreary page.
Yeah.
But then you said you love the Big Book. How does that happen?
I related. I think I related so much to it. Like, I related to so much of Bill's story, and just I think the way Stephanie described her experiences in the book, or, you know, her experience, you know, with alcohol and other things too, but, and just the relatability was just there, like, hands down. Everything. I know Bill had, you know, Bill had his spiritual experience at the hospital, I think it was page 13, like, pretty instantly. It was a pretty quick deal, whereas mine took a little bit longer, but, it happened, thank God. So, but yeah, just a lot of relatability there. And
you found yourself. So, I think you've, in some ways, you've kind of answered this question. But did you think that you were an alcoholic?
No. That's another thing too. I didn't really realize what an alcoholic I was till I started reading the book. And that's, I think, another important thing in our group is we really want to qualify the person as being alcoholic. Because my sober date from alcohol is October 5th of 2016, Teddy we had quite a few sessions where he was basically, we were not arguing, but he was wondering how I could be an alcoholic and not, you know, not still drink when I was using. And that's when I did realize that that's just what happened. God separated me from alcohol on that day, and I know that now. But I would get really frustrated with him because he'd be like, why are you alcoholic? How could you be alcoholic? And just answering, just giving me all the qualifying questions that his sponsors are supposed to give their sponsees to qualify them as alcoholic. And, you know, just it's that mental obsession, physical craving. Once I put it in my body, I can't stop. And that's just what has always happened for me. And, you know, that physical craving is just awful. And so the mental obsession, physical craving was there for me. So I knew I was alcoholic. And Teddy definitely agreed. Finally, you know.
So can you be an alcoholic and have a problem with pills and other things?
Can you be an alcoholic?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, because I know I am. So, yeah, I know I am. And that's another thing, too. Like, I never thought it was possible to have life without alcohol. Like, it was just such a part of my drink or my life, every, you know, whatever. I mean, I would drink by myself. You know, I had a boyfriend in Napa. And just recently, like, this last year, I did an event with him, and he reminded me, like, he would open up the closet, you know, and I would have alcohol hidden in the pockets. And I just, yeah, I was bad. I've kind of been reminded, like, how I was the real alcoholic, you know. They talk about the hard alcoholic or the hard drinker and the real alcoholic, and I definitely was the real alcoholic. I remember, too, another thing I thought of was when I was, like, 20-something, I was living in Sacramento, and I babysat this little girl, these three little girls, and my parents, and we took a family trip to Mexico to visit my grandpa, or to San Diego to visit my grandpa, but he did tours to Mexico, like, every week. So I asked if Shannon, the little 4 or 5-year-old at the time, could go with us. And so she did. I, you know, drove her down to Visalia, and then we took the trip. And I just, you know, I remember going to San Diego, and we had a hotel room, and my parents and my sister, I think, had one hotel, and then we had the adjoining hotels, Shannon and I. And I walked her over to, like, the liquor store to get some alcohol. And I remember, like, having, the next morning, my mom was, you know, checking to make sure, like, all the drawers were clear. And then there's, like, little liquor bottles, beer bottles. Like, just so sick, you know? Like, that was just what happened. That's just what I did. And it was just the hiding and just, like I said, that once you put it in your body, you can't stop. And, yeah, it was pretty bad. So, but, and then with my alcoholism and knowing I'm a pill addict as well and other things. So, yeah, you can be both.
Yeah.
I can be both.
So you mentioned some trouble. I don't know if it started in 2011, but you mentioned there was some trouble in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
And then you got to 2016, and then your current date's in 2018. So... is there anything different about the way you're behaving? Do you have a different routine Are there some things that you can really point to and say, I'm doing these things differently than when I did them before?
Yeah. You know, they always say the people, places and things. And I know, shut up, Robin, sorry. Sorry, we don't like to talk about that at our home group. But I have changed. Where I was living in a Hanford with my ex-boyfriend, and we were using all the time, every day. And so I'm not, obviously not in that situation. I live with an alcoholic who's 10 years sober. So I put myself in different situations. But honestly, the main thing is that before I didn't have God in my life. And so now I do have God in my life, and I'm able to, you know, my 10th, 11th, and 12th step, I think, you know, that's important that I'm doing that now, which obviously I never did before. But, my 10th step, and I've been really trying to do it like every day, and, you know, recognizing self-centeredness, resentment, fear, dishonesty. And then if that does come up, I ask God to remove it at once. And I pray a lot now. I really do. I listen to a lot of worship music and working with others. I have a couple sponsees now, but that's like the key for me. Like just this last week, I was working with a girl at New Visions, and you know, we were reading the book, and I can't tell you just the feeling inside me. Like I get chills, like reading the book with her, and it helps keep me sober. So that's a big thing.
So in the years before the February date of 2018, had you ever had a sponsor before that?
No, that's the thing too. I never had a sponsor. So Stephanie was my first. I guess I lied, but Sandra, she New Vision, she was my sponsor, but we only met a couple times, and then I fell back out when I graduated from the in-house part of the residential care at New Visions. And then, so I kind of didn't really talk to Sandra for a while, and then that's when I was introduced to Stephanie, like, a few months later.
So what did Sandra do wrong?
No, yeah, she always gives me a hard time about that. But no, she didn't do anything wrong. I just, I like the primary purpose. You know, it's people actually, even a couple weeks ago, another fellow AA person, I won't say the name, was giving me a hard time. Oh, you're in that cult and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, if you're desperate enough, you know, where's my Dan, desperate Dan? he's in my home group as well. And, you know, we always say it's the last house on the block. Like, if you're really that desperate and, you know, you need something different, you know, you'll find your way there. And I'm just thankful that I found my way there now, rather than, like, there's a lot of other people that, you know, do, I'm not trying to bag on mainstream AA at all, but, you know, maybe,
do it.
Maybe that, that, you know, do meetings and stuff, and it's just not, for some reason, it's not working for them, and they come to our group and get an experience that helps with their that hole, and you know, that hole in you that needs to be filled.
Yeah, you said something that got my attention. You said your boss is in your home group. Did you say that?
Yeah, my boss is in my home group.
Home group. Aren't you worried he's going to find out stuff about you?
No, that doesn't even cross my mind. In fact, we, you know, it's kind of fun too. Like, we'll go out prospecting in Porterville or wherever, and we kind of joke because we have our little AA meetings inside the car, and we listen to our worship music and stuff too. So it's actually cool to have with my boss is an AA member.
Do you go to meetings now? I mean, like, do you want to go to meetings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
how many meetings do you go to in a week?
I go to, like, for sure 3 a week, and so I have my home group, and I have this, which I'm on the board of directors now, and then Friday nights I take the girls to the Alano. So that's another thing too, like the New Visions girls is like going to New Visions and volunteering there. I'm sure Rita can relate too. It keeps me sober, and it's just I love that house. Like, that house has given me, like, my life back. Like, it truly has. I don't know if I could have done it without them and the support of the staff. And then I love all the girls. And So you guys, you know, the girls in New Visions, like I always heard people come up here and say, you know, if I can do it, anyone can do it. But I truly believe that, like, if I can do it, anyone can do it, because I was that bad off. And
it's true,
yeah,
for you.
It's true. I mean, it all really is true for me. So it will be true for all you guys. Trust me. So, and I just want to see them succeed too. You know, it's a great house. And
so in the period before 2018, were you taking other people to meetings? Were you going to meetings? I mean, I know you probably had to go to some, but mm-hmm. did you willfully go? Did you go to some meetings on your own?
I went to this one. I think in 2017, I think is when I first came to this one.
Yeah.
Too, and I've always enjoyed coming to this one.
So I'm just kind of revisiting the question I asked you before about what's different. What are you doing different between now and then? And it sounds like you aren't living with a drug dealer.
That helps. Yeah.
And you're not only are you going to meetings and you're in service of meetings, but you're actually taking other people to meetings, right? Mm-hmm. And you got a sponsor.
Yeah.
And how many steps have you worked through?
I've completed, I haven't completed all my 12 steps, because if Teddy were here, he would remind me every time I see him, are you finished with all your amends? And unfortunately, I have like 2 amends to do, and I know how important that is. And the only reason I haven't done them yet is because one is for my mom, and she's been in Minnesota battling breast cancer, but she's cancer-free now. But she's been in Minnesota for the past year. So and when she gets back in a couple weeks, I will be able to do my amends with her. My first amends was with my dad, and I was really nervous. I was like, hold on, Dad. We were at the Main Street Cafe. I walked out. I called Teddy, and I was like, Teddy, I don't know if I can do this. I was so nervous. And I got my notes. I went to the drive to get my notes that Teddy and I had talked about. And he's like, just pray, Carrie, pray. Like, prayer is, like, just the key. Like, it really does help. I wouldn't be up here to be able to talk, make one sentence with you guys if I didn't have prayer. But I did with my dad, and I said, Dad, is there anything I left out? Or is there anything, you know, that I left out? And or you could, you know, tell me. And he said, no, that pretty much covered everything. So, and I made my financial amends with my dad, which was a lot of money, is a lot of money. But I've been, by second month, I've been paying him back. And so really quick, I guess I'll go back to when I was living in Napa, my ex-fiance, I was living there. We had a pretty, like, actually really nice lifestyle, to say the least. And I wasn't hurting at all. And I was drinking a lot there, too. Like, he was a realtor, and I was working part-time at our friend's tasting room in Yountville, and, of course, drinking a lot. And I was going to school at the Solano College, taking a real estate class, and, you know, got to a point in our relationship where we were drinking a lot, and it was getting out of control for me, and he was seeing how it was affecting me. I actually was working for this temp agency, and like the second week I was there, they asked me to go on full time with them, which was like, it's gonna be like $38,000 a year, which still would be a lot for me. And I turned it down immediately because I know it would interfere with my drinking. And that was a pretty disgusting thing as well. And then, I would go to my class at the Solano College, and, tell my fiance I was going to class, not go to class, go stop at Applebee's and have a few glasses of wine before I got home. I mean, so it was pretty bad, and I think I was so spiritually not fit at that time. I was writing out checks that accumulated to $10,000 that he didn't know about. And so one day he called me at the tasting room and was like, what the hell, Carrie? You know, he's like, you got to pack your shit and leave. And that was actually probably the big turning point for me. So I went home, and I was just mortified. I was just disgusted with myself that I could do that to somebody. just, it was pretty bad. And so that's when I packed all my stuff up and went to Visalia. And that was when things started to get really spiral down for me, like a lot. And so actually within a few months of that time, that's when I started to get into pills. We had our neighbors that, I befriended, and she had a physical problem to where she had to have Norcos. So I befriended her and started to take, that's when I started to get into pills. I took Norcos, and I was stealing like a lot of Norcos from her. And they caught me red-handed one day. So yeah, yet another demoralizing event in my life. So yeah, I've had a lot of bad stuff happen.
So you've talked about how important prayer and God is to the life that you live today.
Yes.
And you said before that, when you were in Napa, that you felt like there was no kind of spiritual connection at all. Mm-hmm. What was your life? I mean, growing up, did you go to church as a kid? Was that a big part of?
No, you know, it wasn't. My dad was a science teacher when I was growing up. And so, were you agnostic or atheist? I think one of the two, maybe. Yeah. So we never, like, went to church. And I would go to church, like, to St. Mary's with my girlfriend, Francesca, once in a while, and go to CCD there. But that was, like, the only experience I had with church, so I didn't know God, you know. One of the things, like, on step two, what Stephanie did with me is when she was trying to get me willing to open up to this God idea, and I was willing, she had me do 3 days to where I would pray and try to rely on God and ask for God for any guidance I would have. And then the next 3 days, it was, like, with no God in your life. Which wasn't hard for me to do because I didn't really have a God anyways in my life. But I was talking to Dan about that today. It was a kind of a neat experience, a cool little...
So how did you come to believe in this thing that we can't feel, taste, touch, or hear?
How did I come to believe?
Yeah, and by the way, I kind of mixed going to church as a kid into that last question, but this really isn't about going to church, is it?
No, okay. No, it's not about going to church. It's just about my personal connection with God. I just know that my own free will, there's no way I could be sober today, you know, and I know that you know, just praying and just, you know, like I said, the 10th, 11th step is part of my daily activity. And that has brought me closer to God.
So let's talk about that a little bit. Do you have an 11th step routine or what is
I need
prayer?
To be probably a little bit better about the 11th
okay,
step.
Okay, but what do you do?
I
said every, guys.
Just,
you
okay,
hear that?
Like 98% of the morning. I do. I have my Jesus Calling that I read, and I do put on my worship music, and I get down on my knees at the end of my bed, and I pray, and every time my dog comes up and licks my face and distracts me, but... I do the best I can, and I feel, you know, especially worship music, I really, really love, and,
So there's a book that you read, there's music you listen to, and you say prayer.
And I go to church, too.
You do go to church?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I failed to tell you, my dad was atheist, but he has since transformed his atheistness. He's now very Christian, and, we have to go to the Methodist church. My grandma was a member there, and so my dad, after his dad, I believe, passed away, that's when he wanted to, I guess, find the father, you know, seek that father, and then he sought God, correct, I think. And I think maybe that helped me to be more open to the God idea, too, you know, and go to church with him. Like, I love going to church every Sunday, just about every Sunday in Methodist church.
Okay. You told us that you do sponsor some people.
Mm-hmm.
How do you? So if somebody comes to you and asks you to be their sponsor, how would you handle that?
I kind of like tell them, you know, like what my sponsor told me is it's not like, you know, we don't want to have this friend relationship where, you know, you don't have to call me every single day. But, you know, I do want to read line by line the big book and just, you know, and make sure that they're willing to help others when they've completed the work as well. And just if they're willing to believe in a power greater than themselves. And like I said, if I can just have even just like a quarter of what Stephanie taught me, I would probably be a decent sponsor. I'm still working on that. You know, I that's one thing I really like. This last year, I really wanted to make sure I was more consistent on, you know, seeking sponsorship and just having that a part of my weekly activity, you know.
Has there been anything in the year and 9 days? What is it? No, it's more than that.
19
days. I tried to steal 10 days from you.
Yeah.
Has there been anything that's happened in that year and 19 days that's been especially hard for you to get through sober?
Well, it's kind of like might be silly to some of you guys, but I don't have kids, so like my dogs are my kids. Just recently, my dog Chelsea, that was living at my mom's house, and she's, like I said, she's been in Minnesota, and so she's been living there. She's a Weimaraner. I've had her since I was living in Napa. And that's when I moved back. My ex-fiance called me like 2 months later, and he's like, you better come back up here and get your goddamn dog, because she's like chewing my sheetrock and amongst other things. So I went back and got her, and I've had her ever since. But I have a lot of, I feel a lot of remorse and sadness because I left her there with my mom, and during my addiction, I didn't see her for like a couple years. You know, I kind of, when I was abandoning my whole family, friends, and I abandoned my dog, and because of the whole situation with my neighbors and me stealing pills from them, it was kind of, when my mom's been gone this last year, they were watching my mom's house, and they were watching Chelsea, my dog, and they weren't really like too welcoming for me to go and visit my dog. So that's another immense that I have to deal with them, because I have a lot of anger, even though I understand why they, you know, feel the way they do. But so a few weeks ago, my sister called and said Chelsea's really bad, so we had to take her to the vet and put her down, and that was really, actually like a month ago, that was really hard. Like, I don't cry that much, but like my sister and I, like the whole room could hear us. I mean, it was really sad. I miss her, but I know she's in a better place and she's not cold anymore. And we both got to be there with her when she passed away. So I know that. I mean, that was pretty traumatic for me.
Sure.
So
it is for anyone. At any time in this year and 19 days, have you felt that your sobriety was in danger?
And, you know, actually, when I went to Napa, I went to do my amends to my ex-fiance, and then I was there for 4 days, I saw my ex-boyfriend as well. They're both realtors, but they aren't friends. So I went and stayed with my ex-fiance the first couple nights, and he knows I'm an AA, and he's like, well, Carrie, if you come up, you know, I'm not going to not drink. I'm like, that's okay, Mike, I can totally handle it. Like, I have no temptation, you know, no, the obsession has been removed totally for me. And, but we were there, and like, we went to our friend's house, and he owns a winery, and, you know, they were pouring like my favorite Chardonnay, and that was really difficult. And we went back to my old house, there, and then he was, you know, drinking wine, and I poured a glass of Chardonnay, and I had it set there, and I was like, I didn't even have a sip of it, you guys. I swear to God, But I wanted to drink so bad. And I was like, okay, I need to find a meeting and I need to pray right now. And I went to a meeting the next morning, but so that was like the closest I came to really wanting to drink.
That's fantastic. So. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us before we wrap up?
No, we're wrapping up already.
Yeah.
Wow. No,
you made it.
Oh my gosh. I just like the kind of the chicken way to do it, but it was still difficult for me. And thanks for coming, you guys, and my thanks for my dad for coming, and Rhonda. I appreciate you guys' support, so thanks.
Yeah.